welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're the programme that sneezes suspect statistics into the crook of an analytical elbow, and I'm Tim Harford. We're all pondering how a post-lockdown world will work. How can we avoid infection spreading again while getting on with life? The World Health Organization recommends that people keep at least 1 metre apart from each other, but different countries have adopted different standards. The US Centers for Disease Control recommend staying 6 feet apart, that's nearly 2 metres. In the UK, the rule is 2 metres. A 1 metre rule would obviously make it easier to go about our daily affairs, but presumably would also increase the risk of infection relative to a 2 metre rule. It's a trade-off, of course. Keeping 100 metres apart is very safe and very impractical. Squeezing into concert venues, trains or elevators is how we always used to do things, but the virus loves it when we snuggle up close. The Lancet published a meta-analysis of over 170 observational studies of the spread of COVID-19 and two related illnesses, SARS and MERS, looking at the value of masks, visors, and physical distance. None of the studies were randomised trials, but in total they covered a lot of people in a lot of different situations. The Lancet authors concluded that maintaining 1 metre physical distance gave a large protective effect relative to actual physical contact, but there was some evidence that moving to a 2 metre distance might provide a substantial further protection. So, keeping some distance really helps. Keeping a bigger distance probably helps more. That makes sense, I suppose. But what about the flip side of this question? How much of a difference would it make to businesses, and indeed to all of us trying to get on with life, if there was a 1 metre rule versus a 2 metre rule? I put this to David Payton, Professor of Industrial Economics at the University of Nottingham.
The first is to think of the huge scope of sectors which it affects. There's obviously pubs and cafes and restaurants, but we can also think about how important it is for theatres, cinema seating, sports attendance, schools, nurseries, churches, transport. It really goes across a huge swathe of the economy. The second aspect of it is the relative impact of changing the distance. Because if you think of going from 2 metres to 1 metre, it's not just the distance you have from side to side, for example, but you need that distance all the way around you. So actually, it's not just sort of halving the distance. You've got to think of the area behind you, where you've then got a sort of quadratic effect because you've got the distance in front of you, behind you, and as well as to each side.
By quadratic effect, David Payton means that if you're doubling the distance between two people, you're multiplying the area around each person by a factor of 2 squared, or 4. The difference becomes quite clear when you think of a practical example.
So if you think of a typical theatre or cinema, perhaps the seat itself might take up 1 metre, maybe a little bit less. The difference might be if you have 2 metres, you're probably going to need at least 2 seats empty to the side of you before the next person fills it, whereas with 1 metre, it might just be 1 seat blank. But also you've got in front of you and behind. So with the 2 metre distance, you might need 2 empty rows in between you, whereas with 1 metre, it might just be 1 empty row. So actually the difference to capacity could be very significant for those sorts of venues.
If we have to be kept 2 metres apart, that might mean only every third row in a theatre could be occupied. And even on that row, only every third seat could be occupied, which would take you down to a capacity of about a ninth. Whereas if we only have to keep 1 metre apart, Professor Payton estimates that you could have almost a third of seats filled. Of course, the venue could safely squeeze in more people if several people came from the same household and could all sit next to each other. That could help quite a bit with capacity, although the logistics of booking the seats and getting everyone into the right seats wouldn't be straightforward. And what about if a group of friends went to the pub together? Remember those days?
If you're in an outdoor pub situation, if you're 1 metre away, we might be able to organise that group that they can still sit at a table. Whereas with 2 metres away, that's probably going to be unrealistic.
Even with 1 meter social distancing, businesses are going to have to accept fewer customers. Professor Payton says customers should probably expect prices to go up as businesses try to cover their costs, something he suspects that those of us who still have jobs will be willing to put up with, as we've been starved of our social lives for so long. But then the question is how to spread out that demand. Dr. Aoife Hunt works for Movement Strategies, a company that specialises in modelling how people move around spaces like shops or stations or, well, anywhere really. She's been considering the nitty-gritty of the issues.
Stations are really complicated in terms of people movement. You have revenue protection gates, so ticket gates that people go through. So many stations have opted to close every second gate. And going down from 12 gates to 6 could theoretically enable about 90 people per minute with social distancing taken into account. That's a 74% drop. But it's not the whole story. So if you take every second gate, the gates themselves are not 2 meters apart. So people going through them are not meeting that social distance criteria as they pass through them. This may be deemed acceptable, given that they're only passing for a short period of time. But in most cases, it also means that the queues that are leading up to each gate are also not 2 meters apart from each other.
The gates are only one of the pinch points at a station. Think of how we'll have to distance out over a platform or getting on a train. At very busy places in normal times, sometimes stations would have to temporarily close until crowds had cleared. Aoife Hunt says that scenario is going to become a much bigger issue.
We have a wealth of data from years and years of transport studies to understand how people move around. And now it's all very speculative modelling to try and see what these future scenarios might look like. And regardless of the modelling work that's being done, there's going to have to be management sort of on the day, making sure, tracking what's happening elsewhere in the system and taking mitigation measures to make sure that it all works. And, you know, queuing outside stations is something that will impact further systems way outside of the transport network, you know, offices and high streets and others. So it becomes a big problem on a large scale to deal with.
And Aoife Hunt says even without the pressure from busy transport hubs, high street pavements are set to become a real problem area.
I think what we've not seen yet is lots of businesses all trying to do it at the same time because they've not been all open. And if you can imagine sort of queues, if every shop is open and they're all trying to do a queue outside, what that might look like. And I think it's going to need people to talk to each other and collaborate and create a single system. You don't want a system for your pharmacy and then a different one for your bakery and then your bank on the street level. It's got to be all one legible system.
Do you think in the end it's going to be inevitable that we move to a 1 meter guideline, which is the, you know, the WHO's guideline, purely on the basis that so much of ordinary life, especially in a city, it's just completely impossible with 2 meter distance.
I think so. And I think it will be to do with productivity as well.
Professor Payton agrees.
I think given the huge scope of activity that the 2 meter rule affects and the relative impact of maintaining 2 meters, from an economic point of view, moving from 2 meters to 1 meters is probably the most important and significant measure in terms of getting the economy back on its feet again.
Thanks to Professor David Payton and Dr. Aoife Hunt. And that is all we have time for, but please keep your questions and comments coming in to moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We will be back next week. Until then, goodbye.